Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's praise Him! Let's praise Him! Let's lift Him up! Hallelujah! 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 The King of Kings is here! The Lord of Lords is here! Let's praise Him! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Look how the Lord has blessed us. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can, you may be seated. Good morning. Wow, what a beautiful crowd. What a beautiful crowd. My eyes just landed on you, Annie, and that baby, and it's Mother's Day. How fitting. How fitting. Then, you know, I had the pleasure to get to hug Carolyn's neck, and I said, are you going to get to be with your family? She says, this is going to have to be my family. Well, we love being in your family, Carolyn. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, I have a little secret to tell you. We're not going to get any preaching unless the preacher comes, okay? And he is here. So buckle up, folks. He has something for me. He has something for all of you. And I'm very excited to see what he's going to do for all of us this morning. He's already met us, hasn't he? Oh, my goodness. We are so blessed. I think we need to have that men's ensemble a lot more than just Mother's Day. Yeah. Well, I think mothers are a very peculiar breed. What do you think? Has your mother ever embarrassed you? I remember the day the bus came. It was in the afternoon. And our yard looked like we were a disorganized garage sale because my mother got tired of telling my older sister to clean her room. So she just decided that she was just going to help her with that, and she loaded up everything in the floor and threw it in the yard. And when Rhonda got home off the school bus, she was so embarrassed. You know, our room stayed clean for a little while longer this next time. You know, mothers do amazing things, and they really help us. This past week, I was listening to a talk show, and he had this lady on that she says, well, I really didn't have trouble with my children skimming school. All it took was one time. He said, but well, how did you do that? She said, I simply showed up. He said, well, I mean, there's got to be more to this story than just showing up to school. Oh, she said, yeah, I had my robe on, and I had curlers in my hair. And she went into her description, and he said, well, where did you go in the school? She said, I went right to his classroom, and when he came to class, he saw me and about died. And she says, and you know what else? I sat with him in every class all day long. I never had a problem with him skipping school. She said, my older daughter thought, well, Mom would never do that to me because, you know, she thought she was superior to her brother. Oh, she pulled her little shenanigan. Mama got the rollers out again. And she never pulled that again either. So how many of you have had a peculiar mama? And she's had to do a few embarrassing things. Well, we're blessed this morning. We are blessed. I'm blessed with a wonderful mom. She also had a pretty good swing with that arm. But it sure did lead me down the straight and narrow. Okay. We have been living out a theme and embracing a theme at New Song, and the women in particularly have been embracing the theme of living fully. And this theme will go on throughout this year until next year. We'll pray heaven down and see what the Lord is speaking, and we'll have another theme next year. But this year, it's living fully. We'll beginning, as Pastor Chuck said, we'll begin a little Bible study at 8:30 to 9:45. And I'm not sure what room we've gotten approved, but we'll make sure the signs are there starting next Sunday. If you haven't gotten your book, go to the information center and you can purchase one there, okay? All right, living fully. God's desire and plan is that we would live fully. Fully the life he offers, trusting him in all things, experiencing to the fullest all that he has designed for us. Our text today is Ephesians 3:17, using the New Living Testament. Your roots will grow down into God's love and make you strong. We all try at one point or another to figure out a plan to live fully. The biggest plan for the buck, right? Or the largest net worth for your investment. Somewhere in our lives, we strive for the very best outcome. I remember my daughter was trying to tell me about eyeliner. Mom, you just can't buy any kind of eyeliner. It's got to be this certain one. And the shape of it's kind of like a diamond. And sure enough, she knew exactly what she's talking about. That works better than anything I'd ever tried. But isn't that something in everything in our life, all the way down to eyeliner, we want to get the best outcome. For you young mothers out there, you may just be glad and feel like you're living fully if you get a few precious moments to yourself without that sweet little thing interrupting. But for all of us, it's different things. There's different levels. Some of us, we're trying to climb the career ladder. Some of us are just trying to get good enough grades that we can get a scholarship in college. Others of us, Lord, I don't know. It could be anything that causes us to want to live fully. But there are so many levels, but I couldn't just hone in on all these crazy levels because we're all different. And we've all been designed by the Lord to be different. But there are three areas I think we all have in common that we need to find that place of living fully. The first area is by loving others from our heart with our words and our actions. How many times has your words and your actions actually undercut the ability to live fully? Just a thought. Another way is by not allowing yourself to lose your song. Don't let the music die within you. And then the last way I'd like for us to address, to live fully with God's promise of his power, his strength, and freedom. Now, yesterday, ladies, you had the pleasure of getting to hear Pastor Deborah Greenidge deliver a beautiful sermon on beauty for ashes. She really got real with us because we are going to go through things that are unpleasant, won't we? But God wants us, in spite of all that, to learn to live fully in him, to embrace all that he has to offer, that we can live the fullest at what he actually designed us to be. Let's look at number one. I will be going through scriptures rather quickly, so just get your pen out, make little notes, and then you can go review them. I will try to remember to say what version I'm reading them out of. Number one, live fully by loving others from our heart, with our words, and with our actions. I actually believe that we human beings, really don't do a good job with that when push comes to shove, especially when we feel offended by someone. I don't think we do a good job. I believe in order to be intentional in loving others, we must be real with ourselves. We've got to start there in how we stand before God and how we think He views us. Often, many of us stand before God with thoughts of condemnation, and at other times with pride. It's basically a feeling of insufficiency and even lacking versus being self-righteous and critical and judgmental of others. We war between these things and become spiritually unstable. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. There's a simple remedy here. Really is. We just have to deal with self first, where it releases us, gives us the freedom to be able to actually love someone else. Jesus said that He came not into the world to condemn it. He also said to the woman who was caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. In that world, she's supposed to be stoned. The simple remedy is really about what we believe. What do we believe? What do you believe God sees? What do you believe God views when He sees you? What do you really think He sees? Does He see where you think, oh, I should have read my Bible more? Or does He see where I got mad and because somebody cut me off in traffic? Let's get real, okay? Are there so many things, kind of like in a computer, these cookies, that you get so overladen? I don't know computer terms, but it gets to the point, have you noticed your computer slows down? It takes forever to get to where you're wanting to go because you've got so much stuff in it. That's how we get sometimes. So when we stand before God, we don't have confidence before Him because we don't believe His grace is sufficient for us because we're condemning ourselves. Am I talking just to myself this morning? Are we on the same path? Okay. All right. Thank you. So we get so caught up with all this, it becomes kind of like our children. It's all about me. When He simply wants us to take Him at His word. And by faith, we are saved. By the confession of our mouth, we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. We believe we're saved. Now, I'm assuming everybody knows the salvation message, but maybe not. So let's read John 3:17-18 using the message. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. What does acquitted mean? I didn't hear that. Do you believe that? Anyone who refuses to trust Him has long since been under the death sentence without even knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe. The simple remedy here is believe. In the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to Him. So let's let's get rid of the cookies in our computer up here, and let's free ourselves here and know that when we come before God, He is a merciful God. And when He sees us, He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees the robe of Christ on us. He doesn't see the process that Jesus is working with us. He's helping us to grow. He's training us, and He's yet keeping that robe of righteousness on us, because when the Father views us, He sees we're righteous. Does that make sense? So now that we got that taken care of, does that make us superior to anyone else? Does that give us the right that when other people don't meet our expectations, that we can judge them, or we can become critical of them, or when they are less than perfect, that we will just, we'll forgive them, but we're sure not going to forget, and I can't handle it. I'd just soon not be around them. Now let me ask you, do you treat your children that way? Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Your children are perfect, right? I must be the only mother in here that my children were not perfect. No. Once we really embrace the mercy and the grace in our lives, and it's flooded in our spirit, then when people don't meet our expectations, we can kind of do like we do our children. Well, they'll grow through it. They'll be okay. We'll keep guiding them. We're going to love them through this. If we can reach that point, we can do that with each other. We're going to start to live more fully. Second point. Live fully. Don't allow yourself to lose your song. Don't let the music die within you. This past week, I came across the lyrics of a song that I wasn't familiar with. It's entitled, "Don't Let the Music Die" by Faith Rivera. A couple of lines stood out to me, and I quote, "The beauty of a song that's been unsung far too long. God, don't let the music die." I'm going to say that one more time. The beauty of a song that's been unsung far too long. God, don't let the music die. That music for you may have been a dream that God deposited in your spirit, and through hardships and struggles, you cease to hear the music. Has God deposited the beauty of a song in your heart? In your spirit? Has it been a long time since your spirit sang the praises of God because of the joy the Lord has invested in you? Now, we all thought this joy was all me, 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 mine. Makes me feel good. That's an investment God has placed within us. Have you ever thought of that? Because what happens when we have joy? Does it just affect you? No, it doesn't. It's a wonderful investment. Have you noticed that your song has been left unsung far too long? Have you allowed the music within to be drowned out? As the noise of life's challenges take over, the psalmist David even had to be intentional in maintaining his song. Psalms 57 verses 7 through 8, and I use the NIV version of the UK. "My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp. Awake, lyre. I will awaken the dawn." In spite of what David was going through at the time, he was determined to sing and make music by awakening his own soul, by awakening the instruments within, and serving notice to the dawn of the day with the song of the Lord. Sometimes it isn't easy to sing. Sometimes it's not easy to sing. How many of you believe that music demands a response? even when you don't want to give one, it'll just elicit a response from you. You'll either like it, love it, hate it, but there's going to be some sort of response. How many of you parents said, turn that radio down, because it was noise? Let me tell you, when music no longer can glean a response, it becomes meaningless noise. Pastor Paul isn't here. I don't see him, but I would ask all you music folks, where are you, Pastor Paul? Right there. Do you believe that when music loses its meaning, it can become noise? Now, he's the expert. When the music stops and becomes noise, we have lost its connection to meaning. Is it possible for it to go from noise to music again? From the lack of meaning to meaning. Is that possible? Certainly. To redeem noise and bring it back to music, one must search for its meaning. And in finding its reconnection, that is very possible. Now, how many of you remember an old song that took our nation by storm and after a time became silenced? I bet you guys can all think of lots of cool songs like the Bee Gees and all kinds of folks. I like the Bee Gees. Anyway, but they become silenced through the years because new hits are atop in the chart, right? And yet then after a time, somebody takes an old song and it resurfaces and they put a new twist to it, and that meaning we once knew to that song just resurrects within us and we start to enjoy it again. And that's how it went from silence to meaning again, silence to music again. I'm telling you, stay connected to the song the Lord has placed within you. Don't ever lose the song in your heart to meaningless noise and banter. There's much competition out there trying to take up residence in your heart. Filter and find the treasures of your resident heart. Keep out the heavy banter and the noise, which they're difficult to maintain in your spirit. Keep the sounds of order and peace from the music God places within you to flow freely. This simply keeps out the confusion and brings clarity in your daily walk. Keeping the song that God deposited in you will help you live more fully. Don't let the enemy rob your song. And for those of you out there, it may be different things, and you just settled. You just settled, it got too hard, and you let the song die within you. I'm going to encourage you to rekindle your memory. Rekindle the sound of that song. Rekindle it. Don't let the enemy rob you of this. I want you to live fully, and you need the song God gave you to do that. Living fully, number three, with God's promise of his power, his strength, and freedom. God designed his word to put a song in our spirit during good times and bad. America is rich with history of amazing music contributed by the African American Christians and others who endured extreme difficulties. It was their faith in God's word and the inspiration of heaven-breathed lyrics to music deposited deep within the cries of their souls that kept them going. Let me tell you, there was a price paid, but that price was able to be paid because these folks had a song in their spirit and they weren't embarrassed to sing. Many times it was a groan to music. Many times it was a Was it not? And God would raise up within this group of people the courage to face another day, the courage to keep living. And if we lose our song, folks, we're not going to have the courage. We've got to keep what God has deposited in us, because that's that battery that's in us that keeps us going. It keeps our motor running. It keeps the light lit within us. We can't afford to lose our song, or we'll become critical. We'll get to the point we can't love other people because we're so miserable in ourselves. We can't let the song die, folks. If God has put a song in your heart, have you had the strength from it? Yes, you've had the strength from it. And it is sufficient, because that song is fully loaded with the promises of God. And the promises of God demand a response. The promises of God moves heaven and it shakes hell. The promises of God are yay and amen. It seems like God kept saying in my spirit this morning, yay and amen. And I begin to think about going and asking for something. I remember us trying to get the women's brunch all together, and I was so concerned. I didn't want to spend too much money. And then I would hear Pastor Chuck be so affirmative. I would hear Elder Lee be so affirmative. It was like my father was saying, yay and amen. I'm telling you, yes, yes, yes. How many of you wanted something from your mom and your dad, and when they said yes, you about fell over because you couldn't believe it? I'm telling you, our Father says yes. Yes, yes. Our Daddy God says yes. Shake yourself till you believe it. Shake yourself. Reach in deep where those roots are. Don't let them die. Put some water on them by singing that song. Let the Holy Ghost begin to move that song right through you. Don't let the enemy steal your song. Don't let all the busyness that we have to do, carrying so many different jobs and doing so many different things, don't let it rob you. We're starving in our society for our song, the song the Lord has given you. We're starving. The churches are starving. We've got the music, and we are blessed because we have Holy Ghost anointed music. But there's many, they do it perfect. They've got it all right. They got the best of technology, the best of musical instruments, the best singers. But unless God gives the song, it's noise. Unless God breathes heaven, it won't give you the strength through the struggle next week. The song doesn't just make your emotions feel joy, but it gives you the anchor to keep going. Don't lose your song. It keeps you in the anchors of in the waters of hope. It anchors you there where you won't drift out into despair. Don't lose your song. I want to know this morning, how many of you have lost your song through your life at one time or another? I have. And the moment God brought meaning from the noise in our life, he changed it from noise and brought a new connection and created a song in our spirit. Do you remember those moments? Do you remember those moments? God wants to give you the strength. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has revived me. The psalmist David has given us the example that the word put to music, the devil trembles. The devil trembles. Do you believe that? Do you even believe there's a devil? Yes. Look at what's going on. Wars and rumors of wars. Chaos. You better believe there's a devil. But you can speak the word of God and the demons tremble. my strength and song in the Amplified version of Exodus 15 and 2. And he has become my salvation. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed. In other words, intimidated. For the Lord your God is with you. You're important. He's with you. You're his child. Wherever you go. 2 Samuel 22 and 33 says, God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. Psalms 31, 24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. How many this morning, you need strength, you need your heart strengthened? Yes, ma'am, I see that. I see it all over this place. This is a word. It commands a response. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord, that's you. I could keep reading scriptures, but I think we need to move on. We talked about the strength and the power. Now let's talk about freedom. I recently read in a publication by Elena Francis with Christian Today the following. In physical terms, chains restrict us, hold us down and back, and signify our captive state. In spiritual terms, they do more or less. While many of us won't experience physical chains, we're by no means immune to the impact of spiritual chains, which harm our spiritual growth. These kinds of shackles are just as detrimental to our freedom because they affect, number one, our behavior, number two, our outlook, and number three, our faith. Psalms 107 and verse 14 in the New King James Version, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Acts 16, 25 and 26, New King James Version, but at midnight. Do you hear the rumbling, folks? Sometimes does it feel like midnight in our country, in our families, just at your job? Does it feel like midnight sometimes? But Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, can you hear it, folks? The rumbling, Pastor Paul and the music team, you'll begin to come up here. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened. And everyone's chains were loosed. It wasn't just Paul and Silas. And folks, it's not affecting just you and me when God does his work. It's affecting everyone around us. But what were they doing? It was at the midnight hour, at the low of the low. They were in stocks and chains. They were singing. And at your weakest point in your life, folks, at your weakest point in your life, find your song. You may have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, so to speak, but dig down deep. It's there because God put it there. Go find it. Pull out that instrument in your soul. Tune it up. Dig it out. The Holy Spirit will bring the words back. Let it start churning in your soul. And allow God to do a work. You can go ahead and start playing, Pastor Paul. during the women's conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico in the year of 2010 in September, I was attending a women's conference. I too was praying and singing to God when the Lord gave me a word. And folks, I had to pray about whether or not I should be ministering this morning, because, you know, we did the brunch. And I just wanted to be in God's will. I wanted, if God wanted someone else up in this pulpit, I wanted that, because I wanted him to be in control of what goes on. And I was seeking the Lord, and I was asking him, Lord, what's your will? What's your pleasure? And the Lord directed my attention to an old journal, and I wasn't even thinking, putting the two together. And I was like, I grabbed it, and there my eyes fell on the word that he had given me. And the Lord says, I want you to give that to my church. Folks, I want you to listen. This is what God's heart is for you. I'm a crier. I'll never ask him to take the tears away, because I did one time and I didn't cry for a year. I was like, oh God, send them back. This is what the Lord told me. And I'll just quote what I wrote. During worship, the Lord showed me that he wanted to release the chains binding women. And this morning, it's not just women, it's everyone at the sound of my voice. He whispered, and this was so emphatic in my spirit. It was like a whisper. I can do this effortlessly. Something in my spirit just welled up in faith. Listen to the release and the clang of the fall of the chains. Know the feel of the exchange of weight to the lightness of his burden. Note the puddle of chains on the floor. You will know, women, that you are loved and have been redeemed from your jailer. Every man, every woman, I want you to believe that you've been redeemed from your jailer. This morning, not only does God want every one of us to feel free from the things that are restricting us and holding us down and back, but those that surround us, all these three areas to live fully, they all intertwine with each other. I would like for you to stand, everyone. And Pastor Paul and the men's ensemble is going to sing. And if you're someone that needs your song, you need it. You've let it die. You've let it grow silent. If you are one of those that feel like I've been bound by chains and I've been restricted, I've been held back, I haven't had the strength to go forward. And if you're one of those that you've struggled with loving others because you had too many struggles in your own life, and the way you covered it up was try to be superior than anyone else, these altars are open.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.